Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
But let's go ahead and start from Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And this is something I'm not going to go into, I don't think at least, into much about redeeming the time. The Lord's been teaching us about that, how time is redeemed, you know, and that time is redeemed. Obviously here it's pretty clear when you walk in wisdom, right? Walking in the wisdom of God is how time is redeemed. So a day at your job, a day at school, a day in wherever you are, it doesn't matter, a day on vacation, right? The day is redeemed when we walk in wisdom. And if you really think about that, what part of your day would you like to walk in foolishness? Right? I mean, is there a part of our day where we say, well, I'd like to walk like a fool from, let's say, 8 to 5, and then I'd like to walk in the wisdom of God from, you know, 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And then while I'm sleeping, I don't walk in anything. So you know what I'm saying? Like, we if you look at this, you want to walk in wisdom always. So if you want to walk in wisdom always, then you just have to know who wisdom is, right? And wisdom doesn't come from your dad. Wisdom doesn't come from your parents. Wisdom doesn't come from the world. Wisdom doesn't come from college. Wisdom, the Bible says that Christ is to us wisdom, is written in scripture, right? Christ is to us wisdom. So the knowledge of Christ, that's why the knowledge of Christ is so central to everything that happens in the Christian life, right? That's why everything on the inside of you is multiplied unto you only through that, just through the knowledge of Him, just through the knowledge of Him. So it's important to know that, right? Because there are people, you know, it's funny that, you know, we grew up in this. So to us, it's like the most normal thing in the world. People seek education. But the Greek culture was very much like that, right? They were all about knowledge, right? I mean, back in the day, right, of the Romans, they were all, right, in the days of the Roman Empire, I mean, the Greeks were all about just knowledge, pursuit of knowledge. And in their pursuit of knowledge, they would worship many gods, right? Because they didn't care what it was, they just wanted to learn it. And they figured that there was power in just knowing things, right? The funny thing is that sounds like foreign to us, right? It sounds foreign to us, but people in this world do the same thing. They think that the right education, that there's actually power in that. Like, almost like, they think almost like there's this thing that says that if you have this education, like, you can't fail. Like almost like the ironclad thing of success in your life is that you're educated well. But that's not true, right? I'll tell you this. I have a family member in my life, right? Educated in multiple languages, right? This man fluently speaks 5 languages, right? And that's minimum, I think, right? He worked in government from a very young man, right? Yet, he's an alcoholic, right? And his life, he's never been able to really maintain a job regularly. One of the smartest people, I mean, you talk with this man and it's easy to talk to, right? He can talk about any subject and he can supposedly talk intelligently about it, but yet, it's funny that in all of the worldly wisdom that he has, he walks in foolishness, right? Instead of walking in the wisdom of God, he walks in foolishness. So we just have to see, this is, you know, you have to understand where we come from, right? Because the Lord takes this church and the things that He teaches us here, and He teaches us as it is, and He's not trying to say it any other way. Just how it is, right? So, but don't get the wrong impression, right? We don't advocate and tell people, you know what? Just seek God. Drop out of school. Seek God. Don't go to college, right? It's not about that, right? But the thing is, it's that there's such a misplaced emphasis on the wrong thing, right? In other words, honestly, there are people, if we would be honest and we look at the United States and probably more of the world, but just as concentrated in the United States, the parents in the United States and people in general in the United States put a greater emphasis on education than they do on the gospel. It's just a given. It's just a given. It's just a given, right? In other words, people put a great, but look at that, and that may even sound normal to some of you, right? Well, yeah. Of course, education more than the gospel, because what's the gospel going to do for you? That can't get you a job, right? But when you want a job, you have to have a good education, right? But we see, but that's from an understanding of saying that, you know what, I have to lean on my own understanding. Therefore, I have to be able in my mind to be intelligent and to know. And in my understanding, that's what will propel me forward, and that's what will give me a sure future, right? But how awesome is it to be able to know? You know, and I think about you guys, right? You and Michael, and I think about, you know, all our young kids and even us really, but because we're not old. But I just think about how, you know, you all started at a very, very young age to learn about the Lord, right? But then I think about, but there was a lot that you were learning about the Lord that was wrong, right? So what I'm thinking though is now I'm thinking of, I think about my grandkids, and I think about us now, all of the things that we're learning, all of the things that, you know how good it is to be able to, after many years, to have the Lord teach you and you not to have to erase what He taught you last year? That's an awesome thing. To be able to have learned something last year and to not have somebody replace it with something that they say is right now, right? But to actually be learning of God and see Him just building. I just shared with you last service, right, about how the Lord has been building and how the Lord taught, He started teaching us about love, and then the Lord started teaching us, and these are obviously big segments, He's taught us a lot more than that, but teaching us about love, and then teaching us about rest, and then teaching us about hearing Him, and all of these big things that He's been building on. And we thought that when He was, you know, the love of God, that was like everything. Then it was, you know, rest. That's where the answer is, right? And then when He shows you that these are all of those things come, but they come because of hearing. And I know there'll be something else that the Lord will take and build with, but you know how great that is? To actually have the Lord teach you things where He's building on it and not having to scrap that, well, that was wrong. Because then it brings confusion, right? Because you're like, what am I supposed to believe? I mean, you say one thing here, another thing there, so what's true, what's right? But it's cool to be able to see how, you know what, Lord, you're just building. You're building on our lives. So he says to walk in wisdom toward them that are without what? Without wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them. In other words, walk in wisdom when you're dealing with people that have no wisdom. But, and he's saying here specifically, he said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned, it says, with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer him. But now what I wanted to bring you this to is that verse, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, that without part. Take a look at this verse real quick. Mark 4 and verse number 11. Right? Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Mark 4 now and verse number 11. Mark 4:11. It said, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Unto you it is given to know. The question was, Lord, why do you teach them in parables, right? Why is it that you teach them like that? Why do you teach them the way you teach them? And he said unto you, unto them, it says, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know, given to know, given to know. You know, there are just things that just stand out, right? Lord, you've given it to me to know. Right? Wisdom is a gift. Wisdom is not something that I work for. We think that wisdom, you know, the only way to get wisdom is to really work. And if you study and study and study, you'll get really, really smart. And what then? Right? What? There's no assurance in that. There's no assurance in that. I'm not saying that learning things and knowing how things work and whatever is not good, but I'm telling you something. The Lord from inside of you can give you the talent that you need to do what you need to do, right? I mean, when the temple was being built, it says that the Lord gave to them, made these people, sculptors, people that can chisel and make things and do stuff and build things, right? Those giftings were given to them by God to do what they were going to do, right? And I'm not saying by that because we attribute everything that supposedly we're good at to that, that's what God gave me. But there's also a thing that the human being is the greatest of all of God's creation, right? And even though our body may have been affected initially by the fall of the world, we still are greater, right? It's not real impressive because I can do better things than my dog at home can do it, right? I should. I'm smarter than that dog is, right? I was made a higher creation than he is, right? I can do better things than a goldfish. I can do better things than every and all of God's creations, right? Human beings are greater in every way. There's no species that is greater than the human species, right? So, but that in and of itself is not, well, okay, well, that's all I have to work with, because people grab a hold of that, right? And they say, this is the talent that I have, therefore this must be my purpose, right? But a talent is not a purpose, right? Jesus never tried to develop a talent and then use that talent. Jesus lived by the Spirit of God on the inside of him, not by a talent, right? And we have been given that same Spirit. So what he was given is that it was given to him to know. Here's what happened while he was growing up. It said that he grew. This is what he grew in. He grew in stature, thank God, right? He didn't stay 3'8", right? He grew in stature, right? Now, there's anything wrong with 3'8", I don't think anybody in here is, but, right? And she's saying, a little close, but no, I'm kidding. So, I don't even know what 3'8" looks like. I don't know, like this. she said, I'm going to get you after service. You called me and said, I'm 3'8". It said that he grew, right? He grew in wisdom and he grew in stature. So yes, he grew in size, right? But it says that he grew in what? In wisdom. Jesus Christ grew in what? He grew in wisdom. Who was it that was teaching him, right? The Father on the inside of him was teaching him. He was growing in the wisdom of God. He was growing in the wisdom of God. And he would love to go into the synagogue and to speak, to talk about these things. And he would ask questions and he would hear, right? But the one that was actually teaching him, even though he would go and the Pharisees would speak, right, and the religious men would talk, but the one that was teaching him always was the Spirit of God on the inside of him. So he grew in something called discernment, right? Because not everything that Jesus was told while he was growing up was correct. Not everything that the Pharisees said to him was right, right? Not everything that his mother told him was right. Not anything that Joseph told him was right, right? Not everything that he heard was right. But he grew in wisdom, and not in the wisdom of the world, but he grew in wisdom. What? The wisdom of God is what he grew in. He grew in the wisdom of his father. As his father was teaching him, he grew in that wisdom. Now, what it says here in verse number 11, it says that unto you it has been given, right? It's been given to you to know. It's been given to you to know. So, you know, we accept salvation, we accept healing, we accept the knowledge of God, right? There are things, all of the things that have been freely given to us are the things that the Spirit of God is in you to declare to you, so that we would know the things, so that we would know the things that have been freely given to us. If the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, we went through that and have been, so that we would know the things that have been freely given to us. What is one of the things that has been given to you? It's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So should you ever feel like there is something in the kingdom of God that you cannot understand, right? Forget about how you supposedly learn from school, right? How you've been taught to learn a trade, how whatever, that you have to get and you have to apply yourself and you got to memorize and you got to remember. That's not the kind of learning that we're talking about, right? What we're talking about is growing in the wisdom of God. And that cannot come, and here's what we're going to see, right? Natural men, here's something you have to understand. You are not a natural person, right? You have been made a new creation. Before you were made a new creation, you were natural. You were made a new creation, which now means you're spiritual. So there is natural and there is spiritual, right? There is natural and then there is spiritual. And a natural man cannot receive the things of God. Right? Cannot. No matter how much a natural man would want to try, no matter how much a natural man would take a Bible and try to study it and look at it and see if he can figure it out because he's real smart and he graduated from Yale, no matter how much a natural man would try, no matter how much he tries, it will always be foolishness to him. It won't make sense. It won't add up. Things won't grow. Because why? Because spiritual things, so scriptures are written, but scriptures are not natural things. Right? Scriptures are not to put together cute little books for stories for kids so that they can be entertained. Scripture is not for that purpose. Scripture is not written to be a storybook like Cinderella. Scripture is written in order so that those who are spiritual can comprehend spiritual things. How? By taking that which is spiritual and understanding spiritual. And all that means, when the Bible says comparing spiritual with spiritual, means understanding that which is spiritual by the Spirit. There is this thing that the Lord teaches us that is called spiritual discernment, right? Spiritual discernment. Another way to say that is spiritual judgment. Spiritual judgment. And spiritual judgment is important. And here, you know, everybody may not necessarily understand this, but I think most of you will, that there are things that God tells you that you cannot just hear. When the Lord drops something in your heart and He drops a powerful thought into your mind and you look at that, you cannot just take it naturally, right? Because things that the Spirit of God tells you, have to be interpreted by the Spirit of God, right? And not interpreted by men, not interpreted by men. What is the thing that people always get caught up in? They have a dream. Oh, maybe God was trying to tell me something. So what did you dream? I dreamed that we were on a ship and the ship was going under and the water was coming into the ship and the ship sank. And then you think, oh my God, we're going on a cruise. We should cancel. The Lord is trying to tell me that we're going to die on the cruise. Right? What is that doing? That's interpreting something spiritual naturally. Right? People do that all the time, interpret dreams. You can go on the internet, you'll find books, you'll find writings, you will find all kinds of stuff on interpreting dreams. How did Daniel interpret the dream? Where was his book? Who taught him how to do that, right? The Lord just gave him and told him. He said, he told the king, he said, don't look at me like me if by some power, right, that some talent of my own, I'm able to interpret dreams, but the Lord just told me. And then he gave the king the interpretation of that dream. But what happened? There were many there that were fortune tellers and mediums and stuff that would always speak to the king and try to tell him, you know, I know what your dream means. And what would they do? They would always say what they think the person wanted to hear. They always say what they think the person wants to do. So that's why there's all this stuff, you know, New Jersey psychic and all this crazy stuff that's so popular today. It's useless information. It's useless. Even if they could astound you and say, well, how do you know that? And how can you tell me that? And oh my God, how do you know? You know what? There are things around. There are spirits that are called familiar spirits. This stuff is not for us to entertain and to wonder. Just because someone astounds you with something that doesn't look normal, then that doesn't make it true. Right? Because that's where obviously even the Bible talks about that even the very elect would be deceived, right? To believe in something that's not true just because what? Because it looks like a sign or because something looks like a wonder. But the Lord gives us what? He gives us spiritual judgment. He gives us spiritual discernment. And what is that to know? When you do this like we've been saying, you say, Lord, I don't lean on my own understanding, but I lean on you. Then what you're doing is you're taking a circumstance that has happened and you're not judging by the sight of your eyes. You're not judging by the sight of your eyes. So it's not that you have to walk around with your eyes closed. It's that something happens, but what you feel about that situation, what you're going to say about that situation should not come from how it looks, right? That the way that situation looks to you, because the way you interpret it just naturally is the way it is, right? That if somebody says something to you, oh, they hate me. They hate me. Right? And it may just be someone had a really bad day and they said something to you that they didn't mean. Or somebody doesn't love me, or my mom doesn't love me, or my dad doesn't love me, or I have no friends. And we say things so generally because we look at a situation and we assess it and we judge it just based on what's seen. But watch it, and by us, I mean obviously I'm just saying people in general. But what the Lord is teaching us, what He's saying, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge me. So in a situation, when you hear even the Lord tell you something, you know how awesome it would be to be able to continue to go to that place where the Lord, you know what, could tell you anything. The Lord wrote down in Scripture that he would teach people about Melchizedek, right? But He said, but you're not able to bear that right now. You won't even understand it. You won't even accept people that are believers, right? He says, right now, you can't even understand it because you're natural, carnal in your understanding, right? To people that love the Lord, right? So what He's saying there, how good it is when you can get to a place, you know what, where the Lord can tell you anything, and even if naturally speaking, it doesn't sound right, to not make the mistake of interpreting something. You know, because while we've been taking jobs away from ourselves, wouldn't it be awesome to take away the job of interpretation, right? You're not here to interpret what I'm saying. You don't read your Bible to interpret it, right? Our job is not interpretation, because interpretation we think leads to truth, right? We think interpretation leads to truth, yet the Spirit is the one that leads us into all truth. So it's not our job to interpret. That's why the Bible says, right, in Scripture it's written that Scripture is not up to private interpretation. It's not intended for that. And I don't even know the verse that is right now. But it's not subject, it's not up to our interpretation, right? To say, you know what, I'm reading something and I'm gonna figure out what that means. But to be able to, if you're reading something, right? If you're reading the newspaper, if you watch something going on in your parents' lives, if you see something going on in your life, if you see something going on at your job, right? If you see something going on with your husband or your wife, if you see something happening in your own life, if you see something going on with you, if you have chest pain, right? Is the first thing, honestly, please, is the first thing that we want to have to think is that I'm having a heart attack and I'm going to die? Why do we have to interpret everything that happens so drastically to say, I'm going to die, I'm having a heart attack, right? It's, listen, panic, people know even in times of, if there's a fire, the world knows this stuff. Don't panic. Walk, right? Think clearly, right? Now, if you take that just to the next level where you can walk in wisdom with people, walk in wisdom. Let me ask you this. How many times do you think it might have happened? And I'm just bringing you an example, right? But how many times do you think it might have happened? That a husband walking with his family, or a man walking by himself, or a woman walking, right? Encounter somebody else. That person bumps into them. They turn around with a big attitude. You know, what's your problem? And one person gets shot, or another person gets stabbed over what? I was just walking and I bumped into you. And because I want to react to what you do, I react and I say something I shouldn't say. Somebody else that's ungodly reacts a different way. And now something that shouldn't have happened occurs, right? And it didn't need to happen, right? So, and they happen why? Because of impulse. Because of reaction. But thank God that the Lord teaches that a disciple is quick to listen to the Lord, slow to speak, and slow to impulse, right? One that is a disciple, or one that's learned of God, right? That's learning the Lord, learns what? That my greatest thing that I'm quickest to do is to hear. And what's the thing that I'm slowest to do, right? To act, to speak. To act and to speak, we would be slowest to do. So what that means is, right, that we would walk in wisdom, especially around, we walk in wisdom all the time, but especially around those, right, that are without. Those that don't have or don't know the things that you know. Why? Because it is important to say the right thing, right, that the Lord would say the right thing to you, that the Lord would be the one to minister to them, that the Lord would say certain things. You know, tell me if it's not important for the Lord to be the one speaking through you, where you could go to a job interview, say the wrong thing, you could be qualified and not get it. Why? Because you said the wrong thing. Right? You just said the wrong thing. You could be the most qualified, but you said the wrong thing. Right? So in people's lives, in relationships, in all things, right, saying the right thing is important, right? But what's more important than speaking, right, is righteous judgment. The discernment that comes ahead of that, right? Because our mouths speak from the abundance of our hearts. So what happens is you allow the Lord, right, to be the one teaching you. He just slows this down because you're acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, right? You're not being quick to say stuff, right? You're not being quick to give your opinion. You're not being quick to do this. But as the Lord, right, brings those things up, right, out of the abundance of your heart, you speak, and the fruit is different, right? In other words, the fruit that the Spirit of God brings from the words that He says to you are vastly different from the fruit of our own words. Fruit of men's words of natural thinking, right, are much less than the fruit, right, of God speaking through you, right? They're two separate things that's good to know. So he says to you, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, right, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, which is the same thing we were reading, right? Walk in wisdom, right, toward them that are without. Here he says, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but unto them that are without, that without the knowledge of God, without the Spirit of God, right, is all things are done in parables. All things are done in parables, right? You know, there are people that have said, well, I've read the Bible, but you know what? The Bible is just full of metaphorical stuff. And none of it is really true. You know, the whole thing, you know, Jonah and the whale, all that stuff, those are just cute stories, you know. That's not all true. You know, the ark, that's just fables and stories, just like Greek fables and Zeus and all of this stuff and the God of Thunder. You know, that's just what that is, right? They're just fables and stuff that you could read them and be an encouragement to you. Why? Because to them it's not real. To them it's not what? It's the Word of God is not alive to them. Right? So because they don't have the Word of God on the inside of them, they read words on a page, and that's all that they get is words on a page. But thank God to us it's vastly different, right? Reading your Bible is not just reading your Bible, right? Reading your Bible is not just reading words on a page. Thank God for that. So he says to them, right, everything is done in parables. He says that seeing, it says they may see and not perceive. So they'll see it, but they can't perceive it, right? They're looking at it, right? They're looking at it, but they can't perceive it. In other words, seeing it, but they can't see it. Seeing it, but they can't see it, right? And it says in that hearing, they may hear, but they won't understand. Right? They hear the Lord, but they can't understand Him. The 5,000 were fed, right? He spoke to them, but they didn't really hear Him. Because if they would have heard Him, they would have sought after Him for the words of life that He would speak to them, not to get more bread. So all that they heard was more bread. You ever talk to people like that? They already have their mind made up, right? And I'm sure I've done this before, even myself talking to people, right? One-on-one. But you have your mind made up and they said something, but you didn't hear anything that they said, right? You're just ready to speak, right? Well, what happens is sometimes when you have a problem, you're just hearing what you're hearing. And if out of the entire, if you're hungry and all you heard somewhere was McDonald's, that's what you just zone in on. McDonald's. What did you say about McDonald's? Right? Because I'm hungry. So that's all you heard was McDonald's. You didn't hear anything else, you just heard that one thing. But when we're not driven by need, right? When you're not driven by need, what happens? You're not just hearing, you don't have selective hearing. You have the ears that the Lord gave you, right? It's been given to you to know. It's been given to you to be able to hear, to understand. That's a gift to you. So you know what, when you get into that little mode when you say, well, Lord, you know, like, Lord, I go to church, but I just don't get it, right? All that is just a sign that you're trying to understand for yourself. So if you just come in at ease and you say, you know what, Lord, it's been given to me to know. Therefore, I sit here, Lord, and I know and I expect that you're the one that'll teach me. As I hear the gospel preached, Lord, you're the one that'll teach me and you're the one that'll show me. So let's go from here. Let's go from here. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is good. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Look at what it says. It says, but as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard. So you know what that means? That means that natural man's eyes and natural man's hearing, ears, right? Neither has it entered into the heart of a man. So in other words, men could not just think, like in all of the thinking that men can do by themselves, it would have never even entered into the heart of man the idea of what God has prepared for them that love Him. It's when people say it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true, but that's where we live. It's too good to be true for the world. Why? Because people that just live in the world and don't believe, what happens? That they, to them, it's too good to be true because it doesn't fit in their mind. It doesn't fit in their thinking. But look at what he says. It says, it hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them, it says, that love him. But God, it says, look at what he says, but God, what has he done? What has he done? He's revealed them to us by what? By His Spirit. The one that's in you, the one that teaches you, right? He says He's revealed those things that have not even, listen, it's so important. What God has prepared for you cannot enter into natural thinking. So a Christian leaning on their own understanding, the things that God has prepared for that person cannot enter into their brain. And they can hear somebody say it, but it'll just be parables to them. It won't make any sense. It'll just be clanging cymbals. It won't make any sense, right? Because natural thinking cannot receive the things of God, right? Even though that person was not thinking naturally and received the Spirit of God by hearing the Spirit convict that individual when they didn't know anything about God, received the conviction of the Spirit of God and believed it, right, and received salvation, that same way that they did that, sometimes people have changed the way that they're living, and they're living now by their own understanding. But us, listen, when you live by the wisdom of the Spirit of God, when you walk in wisdom, which is to walk by the Spirit, right? And people say that all the time. How do you walk by the Spirit? If you walk by the Spirit, right, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, why is that? Because the natural mind lives to fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? The natural mind would be inclined that way, but when you know that what you can be taught spiritually, by the Spirit of God, spiritually taught by the Spirit of God, and to know that you have been given the mind of Christ so you can receive the understanding, right, to know the mysteries of the kingdom, it's been given to you. He says that you can know then the things that God has prepared for you. That you can know the things that God has prepared for you to walk in that this world cannot see, that natural thinking could never see. So you know, if you get to a place in your life just where, you know what, it just feels a little depressive and you're wondering, Lord, you know, like I don't know, like there's no hope, I have no outlook. All that is just a sign of is that you're just looking at things naturally, right? If you hear Him, what you see would be overturned by what he tells you. Right? Even if a situation is right in front of you, smack dab in front of you and looks hopeless, right? You would be able to do what? You would be able to hear what he's saying, and he would overturn what your eyes are seeing. That's why he teaches us to live by faith. That's how he says we should live. By faith, which is hearing him and being spiritually taught, right? And not by sight. Watch what he says. He says, but God has revealed them to us. But God has revealed them to us. If somebody were to stop you and say, listen, let me ask you something. Does God show you everything that he's prepared for you to walk in? The answer to that would be yes. Right? Yes, he does reveal those things to me. He reveals the things to me of the things that he has prepared for me to walk in. To walk in what? To walk in divine health. To walk in prosperity. To walk in joy. To walk in peace. To walk by faith. To walk in all of those things. He teaches you to walk in all those things. And they are too good to be true for the people that don't have the Lord. But for us, too good to be true is the way we live, right? Too good to be true is the way that we live. That's what we live in. So it says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit searches all things. It says, yes, the deep things, the depth of God. The Spirit, look at what it says. For, and I never get tired of reading this verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man, right? Nobody knows. Before I was saved, no one knew me. No girl that I ever met, not my parents, not my sister, not my brother. Nobody knew me like the Spirit in me knew me. Nobody knew me that way. Just my spirit knew me better than anybody. But it says, but in the same way, even so, the things of God knoweth no man. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So that's so crucial to understand. The things of God, no man knows. No man, no natural man can know the things of God. No natural man can know the Spirit. And I say that natural man for a reason. So you know how he's not calling you a man. If you want to see right now, he's not calling you a mere man. And you're going to see that how. And most people say, oh yeah, look at you. Talking about pie in the sky. You're not even a man. You're not a mere man. You're a superman, right? Watch. What man knoweth, he's talking about a man, right? What man knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. A man does not know the things of God, right? But the Spirit of God. Now he says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. Why? So that we might know the things of God. So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it says, no man knows the things of God, but you have received the Spirit of God. What does that make you? What Paul was saying, why are you acting? He looked at the church and he rebuked them in a letter and said, why are you acting like mere men? Saying, I'm an apostle of this or an apostle of that or an apostle. I belong to the church of Apollos and I belong to the church of Paul and I belong to the church of this one and I follow the other one and I follow this denomination and the other one. He said, why do you walk like mere men? In other words, do things just like the world does them. Judge things just like the world judges them. What does he give us? Spiritual discernment. What does that mean? That you're in a situation and you discern things by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God shows you right, wrong, good, bad. Right? He shows you. You can see it. You can see right, wrong. You discern and you look at situations different than other people do. You can look at your children and see one of them do something wrong and you can see it and say, you know what? There's something else to this. It's not just what the way it looks like, right? You know how awesome that is to be able to be a parent and be able to have the Spirit of God show you, you know what, there's something else here you got to look at, right? To be able to know that, right? Right? I don't think maybe your kids would like that very much, right? But if they're Spirit-led kids, they're not afraid of it any either. But that's good. That's good. To be able to know. It's good to know. It's good to know. So we have received not the Spirit of the world. So we have to acknowledge that there is a Spirit of the world, right? The Spirit of the world or the Spirit of God? There is a spirit at work in the sons of disobedience and a spirit at work in the sons of obedience. There are two spirits, right? He says, so we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also, so here's what he says, which things also we speak. So what is he talking about? Wisdom. He speaks the wisdom, right? So the Lord speaks, right? And what's spoken out of the mouth, right, of when he was talking Paul, he was saying the things that are spoken then are spoken of by God, right? Because they're things of the Spirit, they're not things of men. Here's how he says it. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. All right? I'm going to keep harping on the university thing. So we're going to go back to college, right? And we're going to get schooled because we think that that is what makes me who I'm going to be. So you know what happens? You go and you repeat what you're told. But he says, here's what a successful man said, right? He said, I don't speak the words that man's wisdom teaches me, but which the Holy Ghost teaches me. Right? So there is a teacher, and you can go to school, and you know how awesome it is to be able to go to school with the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And here's somebody, forget about college, just public school in general, right? Be able to go to school and have the discernment of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit just showing you, nope, that's not right. Nope, that's just not right. Contrary to having to sit there and think that you have to swallow everything that Professor so-and-so says or everything that Teacher so-and-so says, because that is not right, right? To think that we should just subject ourselves and to say that we have no recourse, right, for us to know, thank God that we can know. Thank God that you have to know and not idolize somebody that you think can teach you and think that that person, everything that they say is 100% correct. It's not going to be. Honestly, I thank God that my children never looked at me that way, right? At least when they got to an age that they were smart enough not to, right? Everything that dad says is right. That's not true, right? Now, why? Because we grow up from children in our understanding to hearing the Spirit of God. A child in his understanding, right, is like right, me and my brother at like 7 years old and 5 years old arguing about the fact that dad was definitely stronger than Superman. There is no way dad is not stronger than Superman, right? Because dad is faster than a locomotive. Dad can leap tall buildings, right? Why? Because he's dad, right? To a child in his understanding, stuff like that is what it is because he's dad. So you look at somebody who is supposedly your provider, the defender, the one that loves you, and you do what? You put them up. Why? Because children in your understanding, you're thinking, that's the one that sustains me. When you get high enough in your understanding in God and you learn Him, you know what? Lord, you are the one that makes me to stand. Does my dad love me? Yes. Does my mom love me? Yes. Do people love me at work? Does my boss care about me? Does he love me? Does he favor me? Yes. Your boss favors you. People favor you around you. That's all good. But who sustains you? God sustains you. Even if everyone leaves you, He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's the one that makes you. People can do that, right? People can do that. People can leave you, but He makes you to stand. That's good to know. That's good to know. It says, we also speak not in words which men's wisdom teacheth. It says, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. People have to see that, right? Does the Holy Ghost teach? I don't know. What did he just say? Right? Not words which, it says, which man's wisdom teaches. It says, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, it says. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. Right? In other words, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hearing things that are said spiritually by the Spirit of God. Right? And being able to have them taught to you by the Spirit of God. Not having things said to you spiritually and then trying to understand them from a carnal, natural mind. Watch what he says. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. A natural man cannot know the things of God. A natural man cannot know the things of God. So if you look at someone that's wealthy, successful, has all the money in the world, looks like they have a great marriage, looks like they have great children, that their children respect him and they honor him, right? And he does not know God, that man is a fool. The Lord says that man is a fool. And when the storm comes and it beats against his house, that house will fall and great will be its fall. We have to know where to put place, right? In this nation, we idolize people that look successful, right? But sometimes people in the world have no regard, many times no regard for the gospel, right? So, and you can see that, right? Because of the emphasis that there is put on the church of Jesus Christ and the emphasis that's put on everything else, right? Everything else is more important, and when I have time for this, somewhere in my life I'll have time for that. But you can see what they value, right? But if you know how you can look at something, the Lord can bring you, and you could have a pair of sweats on, no socks, a pair of sneakers and a t-shirt. And the Lord brings someone successful, drive right up into your house. Drive up in a limousine with all the fanciest things that they can wear on, right? And the Lord can have you look at them and know, they know nothing and they don't know me. And instead of feeling, and I'm telling you this because this is a true thing, right? Instead of feeling intimidated in your mind, right? By the look of something that closes your mouth, know who you're looking for at and let the Spirit of God give you the discernment to know. How else, can you think of this? How else would a prophet like Samuel, One of the greatest prophets, I totally believe one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. Go up to a king that he served. Take the sword that belongs to the king, right? Who in that time, if I'm not mistaken, only King Saul and Jonathan were able to have swords. All the other men did not have swords, right? Is what my understanding is. But beside the point, right? He takes the sword out of the sheath of the king and goes and kills the king that he bought as a prisoner. The king is sovereign over a nation, right? This prophet, who has no political position, is just a prophet of God, right? Takes the sword out of that man's sheath and goes and cuts up a king into little pieces to finish what God told that man to do. How do you do that? How are you not intimidated by position and money, right? How do you grow like that? How do you grow to a place where God can bring you before the great men of the world and have you, who apparently, compared to them, don't have the position and the decor and can speak the gospel freely? Allow the Spirit of God to work through you and to do things, even though by the world's standards, like, weren't you like intimidated by the person? I mean, they have so much power, but you know, but what you saw? What you saw is they need the Lord and they don't have one. Therefore, the Lord says, and allowed you to see that they're poor, naked, and blind. So instead of seeing a rich man drive up in a limousine and being intimidated because you got sneakers, no socks, right? Sweats and a t-shirt. Instead of being intimidated, you look and you see, oh, I have a t-shirt on. I got sweats on. They're naked, right? I have the wisdom of God. They have no wisdom. They only have the wisdom of this world. You see what the difference is? I know that's a little bit of an example, kind of a little bit of a different example. But the thing is, if you look at things like that, because I'm convinced that the Lord will bring us before people of great importance and of great stature. And how do we have to be? People that have righteous judgment, that lean on the Lord, right? That don't try to talk differently to one. The Lord says, you know, if somebody comes into your church dressed very well, willing to give great offerings, what do you do? Do you give them the best seat? Who does that? People that are looking at people because of position and are willing to give them a stage and a platform. Why? Because they have money, right? Money should not win people positions. Money should not win people positions, right? The Lord is the one that lifts up or not, right? But money should not give people positions, right? That's the way it should be. That's the way it should. Not the way it always is, but it's the way it should be. So let's close this up then. Let's close this up. So he says here, he says, but the natural man in verse 14 receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual, because that's us, right? We were born again, a new creation. Now we're called spiritual, not natural, right? We who are spiritual, it says, judge all things, yet he himself, look at what it says, is judged by no man. What man is he talking about? A natural man. In other words, a natural man has no knowledge to be able to judge you, right, unrighteously. You, to call you a thief, to call you a robber, to judge you falsely, right? No natural man can judge you falsely. Why? Because you have something. Look at what he says. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? No man can judge you. No natural man can judge you. Why? It says, because who hath known the mind of the Lord? And you can read that and say, Lord, I don't get it. Who can judge me? Because who hath known your mind? What does that have to do with me? Why can no man judge me, right? Because no one has known the mind of God, right? What does that have to do with me? And he answers that question. No one hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, because we, right, but we have the mind of Christ. So because you have been given the mind of Christ, that means that you know, and the Lord's taught us this before, that his thoughts are your thoughts, and that his ways are your ways, and that his thoughts are not higher than your thoughts, and that his ways are not higher than your ways, right? Because what he told the foolish man is he told the foolish man to forsake his thoughts, right? And to accept the Lord. Thank God that we've done that, right? That we forsook our thoughts and we believed and we accept the Lord. Now he encourages us. You know what? In two things I think primarily that are real important to close with. One is to be able to allow the Lord to say anything to you. And to not have preconceived ideas as to what is normal and natural. But to have the Lord tell you things that on the outside would sound crazy to you. But you know what? As you sit there and the Lord says something to you, you take it and you just take, you do, you know, I've looked at it this way like Mary did, right? Mary heard the Lord tell her that she would have a child and that woman had never even known a man. So how are you telling me that I'm going to give birth to not just a baby. Listen, for a woman to give birth without knowing a man is amazing enough, right? But that you're not just gonna give birth. She's a young woman. They say she was about 14 or so, right? I don't know. But you're gonna have a son, and he's gonna be the son of Almighty God. How do you swallow that, right? How do you swallow that? How do you swallow an angel, first of all, coming to you, right? Today, most people would end up in a psych ward because they think they're going crazy, losing their mind, get on a pill, go see a psychiatrist because somebody told me that the one that's going to be born of me is the Son of God, right? Something like that doesn't compute. But what happens when you allow the Lord to teach you? And the Lord is good. He tells you things that you can bear. But isn't it awesome to keep growing in your understanding and to a place where you say, you know what, Lord, you can tell me anything. And even there, then I know He won't tell you everything, right? Because we just can't bear everything. But for Him to be able to tell you things, and then for you to be able to, because what He is judging, what He tells you, is how you're going to discern it. What He's judging of what He's going to tell you is how you're going to judge it. If the Lord is going to tell you something, He knows you're going to go crazy and judge it naturally, right? Then He won't tell you because it's going to hurt you. It's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. So there are many people that I know say that they don't hear from God. And I think sometimes it's good that they don't hear what God has to tell them, but that they would only hear what they need to hear. Because sometimes people hear something repetitively and they think it's just being repetitive, but it's because they don't know it yet. Right? So it's good for them to hear it and see it so they can move on. So the one thing that I know is that the Lord wants to tell us that He wants to bring us into a place where the Lord can speak something to you and know that you're going to ponder it like she did. Mary pondered what the angel said and didn't reject it. And that's the way we have to be, right? When you don't understand something that the Lord says to you, when you don't understand something that you hear from church, don't reject it if you know that the person speaking is speaking by the Spirit of God, but say, Lord, teach me and show me what's right. Right? I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm not saying that I know nothing or I know anything. I'm just saying, Lord, You're the one that knows. You teach me. Right? You teach me. And that's a good answer, actually, that the apostle, one of the prophets said. The Lord spoke to him and he said to him, he said, Lord, You know. You know. Right? So it's good. It's good to know, Lord, You know. You're the one that teaches me. You'll show me. You'll show me. I don't have that. Interpretation is not mine. That's good to know. And you know what? And the second thing is just spiritual judgment and discernment. To be able to grow in that, to know, Lord, You want to teach me. I have the ability to know all things. I'm a spiritual person, not a natural person. And that right there is good enough to be able to begin to see, right? If somebody asks you, you know what? Are you just natural? And sometimes you may even say things like that. Well, you know, what do you expect from me? You know, I'm only human. Like, what do you want? You know, I'm doing the best I can. And those kind of things or excuses in our mind come from what? From thinking that we're limited to only what we can do. But thank God that that's not where we live, right? That's not where we stand. So, Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the things, Lord, that You are teaching us and showing us, Lord, that we are not just natural people, but that we are spiritual beings, spiritual people that are spirit ruled with Your Spirit that reigns on the inside of us. People that accept the abundance of Your grace, all of the things freely that You have put on the inside of us by Your Spirit. We accept those things. We thank You, Lord, that we don't lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we acknowledge You, Lord. We acknowledge You, and You make those things that look crooked and confused, and You make them straight. You make us to know because it has been given to us to know. Father, it's that we can know. We can know. We can know things. We don't have to always even use that as an excuse to say that, Lord, you just do it. I don't have to know. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. He wants you to know about tomorrow. He wants you to know about your children's future. He wants you to be able to have a word of knowledge. He wants you to be able to prophesy to your family. He wants you to be able to speak prophetically into your own life. Things that are coming, things that He has prepared. He wants you to know the things that have been prepared for you to walk in because you love Him. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. He says a servant does not know what his master is doing. A servant does not know what his master is doing, but the son knows. The son knows. And the son abides in the house. The son abides in the house. Thank You, Jesus, that we are not servants. Thank You, Lord, that we are not servants, Lord. But that it has been given to us, Father, for us to what? To know. How do we know? We have Your Spirit. Are we just natural men? No, we're spiritual. So if we're spiritual, what does that mean? That we have Your Spirit and we know. It's been given to us to know. It's been given to us to know. Father, is it taboo to want to know? No, Lord. We should have a desire to want to know. A desire, Lord, for you to show us, Lord, what you're doing. A desire, Father, for us to know what you're doing now. It's so apparent to open up the newspaper, to look online, to watch a podcast, to see what's going on in the world. It's so easy to know what's going on in this world. It's more important to know what you're doing today, now, today, what you're doing. What you're getting me ready for, the things that you're doing, Father, what you're preparing me for, all the things that are coming. Thank you, Lord. Those are good things for us to know, and we can know. Why? Because it's a gift. It's a gift that's been given to us to know. Thank you, my Father, that we do desire the things of your Spirit, your word, Father. You spoke to us, Lord, and you teach us, Father, out of Scripture that it says that we should desire the spiritual. We should desire the spiritual, Father. We should desire the spiritual more than we desire the natural. Thank you, Lord. People that value things, that have the right value system, that look at things and value things appropriately in their heart. Father, I pray that by the time we leave here today, Father, let them know, my Lord Jesus, let them know, my God. Every single one of them that have your Spirit on the inside of them, let them know this, Lord. Let them know how rich they are. Let them know how rich they are. Let them know how rich they are, my Lord, as they have seen and continue to see what you have given them freely. As they tell you, Father, I don't know, Lord, but you have given to me your Spirit so that I would know. So teach me how good that is to be taught. We are of those that are taught of God. Thank you, Lord. The prophets foretold that. That we would be of those that would be taught of God, and we're living right in the middle of it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the time that we live in, for where we are, and for the fact that you keep us, and we are safe in you. We're safe in you. We fear nothing and no one. We fear nothing and no one. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.